Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us today, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor, Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And right now, they've got a great inventory of tractors. Go up and see them. All shapes and sizes. They got them with cabs. They got them without cabs. They got implements. They've got a lot of inventory. So go up and see them. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! Nice.
Yeah.
So don't often say a lot about this, but you can always find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We are always open to sponsorship and promotion for local businesses, national businesses, you know, projects. If we have something that would interest the wider audience, maybe PSAs. And sponsorship comes in all shapes and sizes. We have lots of individuals who sponsor the show every now and then, sometimes regularly. We're pretty flexible. But we have been around for this October. I guess it's like 14 years doing this show. And the archives go back that far. The, I guess, rather unique thing about our archives is we take out the advertisements. So thanks for sponsoring, but we're cutting you out after. Sorry about that. But we do take that out just to speed up the listening and make it easier for people. And they are stored on our website in MP3 files that are not password protected. All of the information on all the shows gets its own page on the website. And so you can find out about our guests, the materials that they reference. You can research what they tell you or share it with other people. And the sound files are grouped as the full 2-hour show, first hour, or the second hour. So you have three options there. And again, free to listen to, and we hope you will share the information. We try to do things that you haven't heard all the time instead of just regurgitating what we all hear repetitively. We try to do things that need more airtime. Today's topic is one of those topics. Whenever we talk about the VA, you need the whole show because there's so much stuff.
Too much going on.
Too much stuff. So there's always a scandal brewing at the VA, I guess. Spoiler alert.
It's their job.
Scandal, another scandal. And Kristen Rule seems to be at the tip of all those scandals. And she's accumulating friends as she goes through life who accumulate scandals as well. But this affects everyone. I mean, if you're not a veteran, it affects you as a taxpayer. So somehow this is affecting you. And I think you'll agree with us at the end of this that this stuff just shouldn't be going on.
No.
These things just shouldn't be happening. So we have all four of our guests on a speaker, on a conference line. So we have Kristen Rule, we have Peter Rizzo, we have Ken Crandall, and we have Ben Krause. So we didn't really plan out how we were going to do this. I thought maybe we would start with Kristen since she was the one who kind of kicked this topic off with me, gosh, I don't know, like a year ago. And I've got a short bio on her. So I'll give you little snippets on our people as we go, and you can always go online and read those. So today is September 10th, 2023, in case we replay this at another date. But you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. So our guest, Kristen Rule, has worked at the Department of Veterans Affairs for 15 years in Veterans Benefits Administration. They call it VBA. Currently, she is the program analyst where she and her team spread the word about available VA benefits. After blowing the whistle at the Department of Veterans Affairs, she was informed that her confidential whistleblower communications, confidential, I guess we should put in quotes, and her personal information, also in quotes, is being stored in a VA system of records that is not secure, and the information is readily available to the people she reported while she was a whistleblower. She's here today to bring awareness to other whistleblowers. These guys have all been whistleblowers. Ben Krause, we'll go into him, I don't know in what order. Ken Crandall, we've done shows with. I've listed both shows we did with him. And Peter Rizzo has a really interesting whistleblower case, one that you just – outside of EA. He even tried to go outside of EA and got tangled in something, and it's like, good Lord, what is wrong with the world? So the good news is, even though the world's gone crazy, there are always people willing to point that out. And it's an emotional toll that it takes. It's a financial toll that it takes, time, everything. So it's not easy when you see all this stuff that's wrong and you want to step up and do something about it. And so cut to you, Kristen. Where do you want to start with this?
First of all, I just want to clarify that we actually started talking to Kristen like 8 years ago.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah, yeah. So she's been on this for a long time, really knows what she's talking about, and this is just another chapter in the VA's
ongoing. You should go back and listen to those shows. We had psychic reading parties with VA employees. It was just like, yeah, stuff you wouldn't believe. Anyway, Kristen, fire away. Where would you like to begin our travels?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
Sure.
Yes. The reason that I feel it's important is I've been a victim of my identity being shared with thousands of people. When we're at work every year at the VA, there's a mandatory training you have to go through where you must go through a TMS course and you learn all about whistleblowing. And they tell all the employees you have a duty to, you know, report things if there is a violation of a law or rule or regulation or anything. So I took that seriously. They even tell you how to report things and who to report them to. So I first reported things internally for, you know, a while, and then I started, when there wasn't much success that way, I went to external sources. And when I would do all these things, I'd send emails, letters, back in the day, faxes, you name it. Ken Crandall's on the line with me. We did everything we could do to bring awareness to what we thought were major problems happening at our work. Well, over the years, all those communications have piled up. I thought that was behind me until I got a call from Peter Rizzo, who was on the line, and he can let you know exactly what happened and how we became friends on this show.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Kristen.
All right, so wait a minute before you go, Peter. So we got to tell folks that you are no stranger to, I finally got a good bio for you. Thank you for that. No stranger to calling out corporate and governmental misbehavior. So he's worked on both sides of the line, in the government and in private industry. Worked for 7 years in the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. During his tenure there, he and his colleague, James Metcalf, director of Western New York National Cemetery, they were critical of the agency's design of a busy intersection adjacent to the cemetery. Rizzo was removed from the project and Metcalf was silenced as the ill-conceived traffic design was implemented. We've never seen that happen in our own towns. 7 days after the intersection reopened to traffic, two veterans were brutally killed at that site after leaving a funeral service for a friend and fellow veteran. Lovely.
It was a very scary moment in my life and very difficult time to be working for VA and to be put in that kind of a predicament. But I first want to thank you, Aaron and Bill, for having us on the show today. And as you mentioned, I am no stranger to whistleblowing. It seems that everywhere I turn around, there's some form of misconduct, waste, fraud, abuse, corruption, you name it, going on. And it's never our intent to blow anybody in. It's just to correct the issue. Sometimes it's as simple as changing behavior and redirecting somebody or enlightening them to what the law allows. But consistently, when you try to do that, you are the victim of retaliation. You're in the wrong. And that's the situation that Kristen has found herself in, and Ken and myself, repeatedly throughout our careers. In particular, this case and why it is so important today, the one we're talking about related to VIEWS, the VA Integrated Enterprise-Wide Workflow Solution System. It is basically VA's internal correspondence system. When a communication comes in from Congress, a person on the VA side of the house will enter that communication into views. They will create a case file within this electronic system. And they have the ability to designate that case as either sensitive or not sensitive. The default is not sensitive, or at least it was. And so for many years, they had been putting information in, received from Congress, from veterans out at home, sending letters into the secretary, whatever it may be, and putting it into the system. Some of that information contains Social Security numbers, date of birth, addresses, phone numbers, you name it, personal health information of veterans, and information about whistleblowers, and maybe communications. Let's say that, for example, Kristen, she goes to her congressional rep and says, hey, I need some assistance here. I filed this case. I'm getting no traction on it. I really need your help. And then that member has Kristen fill out a form that asks for her Social Security number, date of birth, home address, home phone number, her blood type, or whatever it may be. And then they send in that document right to VA and say, hey, this person needs some help. Here's all the personal information. And they put it right into views. On top of that, they put in all of the things that she disclosed and then added communications that she had with the secretary and with others all into this system that 2,000 people across VA have access to, including, in many cases, the retaliators themselves. And so how did they know that Kristen did this, or how did they know that I did something or anyone did anything to then retaliate against us? It's because potentially, or we suspect, because of views and the loose controls that they had on security protocols. So there are really two components here. One is that there's veteran information, PII and PHI, personal identifiable information and personal health information, as well as critical information related to whistleblower cases that are in some cases life and death situations for the people that we serve as VA employees or as a former VA employee. And it's readily accessible to just about anyone, or it was. Well, I discovered this in late June of 2022, rather. So late June 2022, I stumble across some information that I should never have had access to and realize that, oh my goodness, there's whistleblower information in here. So I've known Kristen for many years. I searched her name, and lo and behold, some very sensitive information came up related to her case, including correspondence with the secretary, et cetera. And so I let her know. And we then brought this to the VA chief of staff, the deputy chief of staff for VA, and because the chief of staff has control and authority and jurisdiction over the views system. Unfortunately, the chief of staff did nothing about it. And so we went to the Office of Special Counsel, which accepts whistleblower disclosures and retaliation complaints, and then they either investigate them or have agencies pursue them. In the case of a whistleblower disclosure, they have the agencies look into that, which is the fox guarding the hen house.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what they did with this case. Yeah. So they on August 2nd, 2022, thereabouts, VA was asked to investigate views and to look into concerns related to views. And unfortunately, it turned out that they could not get that report done for 11 months and 19 days. So all of this system has, with all of its vulnerabilities, existed as it did when Kristen and I discovered this, for at least another 11 months and 19 days before they could finish this report. The chief of staff knew about the concerns, chose to take no action while this report was being completed. And she provided in her testimony, by the way, to the Senate on this topic. Well, the report has since come out in draft form, I have it. Kristen has it. And I've provided it to Ben. It's published on his website. And I would encourage you to take a look at it. The executive summary is a whitewash effort by VA. But get into the body of this document, and there are some damning findings and extremely serious situations that exist that are even above and beyond and more serious than what Kristen and I initially suspected.
And who, at the time you reported this, we got to go to a break.
Sorry about that.
Kind of curious who was in charge at that time and what they did about it or didn't do about it. So we'll take a break. Maybe we can come back with that.
Yeah. There's a lot behind all of this. And I don't think people realize when we come back to you, Ben, if you would, Peter, if you would make a note that the information that's available, like the personally identifiable information and all that, what that entails. Because a lot of people who don't work, you know, just have regular jobs. I never dealt with PII, you know, that kind of thing in my private industry work. I know some people do, but I don't want to ever assume that people understand all the ramifications of this, because initially you're thinking, well, what did they do? They got your name, and you reported some stuff that was kind of public anyway. Nah, there's more to it than that,
yeah.
And it's not stuff a federal agency should be divulging. We'll come right back. You are here listening to We the People Radio. Our guests are wide and varied. We have four of them on that are all whistleblowers with the VA. I think you'll like the show. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and here's a song for Kristen.
Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again, the boys are back in town. 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 The boys are back in town.
Spread the word around.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Would be Peter, Ken, and Ben be the boys that are back in town.
Yeah.
Can't have a song about girls and no songs about boys. That's wrong. Okay. So, Peter, back to the questions we left you hanging with at the end.
Who you said you reported it to a couple of different levels, and I'm kind of curious if you can tell us who was in charge at that time and how they skated around that issue.
Absolutely.
We reported to the whole country. We reported it to every person we could think of that would actually have any type of power to do anything.
Correct. And at VA specifically, in charge of this system was the current VA Chief of Staff, Tanya Bradshaw. And Kristen and I both spoke directly with her deputy, who had actually just come over from the House Veterans Affairs Committee. She was just hired by VA, and I video chatted with her. I randomly called her through Microsoft Teams, which VA uses for internal communications, and we were both looking at each other, and I told her flat out what was going on here. I explained precisely my concerns as I did before the break, and she was mortified. And she understood the severity of the situation, and she assured me that she was going to inform Tanya immediately after we hung up. And based on Tanya's responses to the Senate, we'll talk a little bit more about Tanya in a moment, I'm sure, and why she was speaking to the Senate, but she told the Senate that she was made aware of this right away, and that she chose to do nothing about it because, quote, weeks, something, this is a paraphrase, not a precise quote, but she said, well, weeks later, we learned that they went to OSC, and OSC asked us, the Office of Special Counsel, asked us to do an internal investigation. And so I chose not to do anything.
Hmm.
And so if you have a house burning down, you know, that's the kind of situation we have here. This is a problem. We've got smoke. We've got fire. Oh, don't worry. We're not going to pull the fire alarm. Somebody else will figure it out.
Right.
Well, because how are you going to communicate? You can't use your, you can't email anybody. You can't communicate with them because it'll all go public. And talk a little bit about the private information that is available through that system to 2,000 people who probably have no contact with any of you in real life.
Well, and those 2,000 have the ability to share that with
exactly.
countless others.
They do.
Yeah.
For
sure,
sure, Bill. And that's the big risk here. You know, you hire somebody to work at VA, and you can only trust them so much. I mean, there are bad actors in any organization, and certainly some of them may very well have access to views or may inadvertently misuse the system. But specifically, personally identifiable information is any information related to education, financial transactions, medical history, criminal history, employment history, your Social Security number, your date of birth, your address, your phone number, anything that can be used to single you out, to identify you as an individual,
wow.
is classified as PII. And then personal health information, obviously, would be anything from your medical records. So if you're a vet who went to a member of Congress and said, hey, you know, I've been diagnosed with this by VA, I'm not getting the treatment that I need, or I need to see a specialist, can you help me? VA is denying this, and you are, the member contacts VA on your behalf,
which
and
they do
discloses
all the time.
What you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course, and discloses the diagnoses that you have been given and what you're requesting. Well, that information is in views, invariably, number one. Number two, it's very likely that it was not and may still not be designated as sensitive, which means that, again, any of those 2,000-plus people have ready access to that information and could potentially misuse it. It takes one person to misuse that information.
And tell me again, who determines if it's sensitive or non-sensitive?
That's a great question. It's the person on the receiving end of the correspondence, which is typically an intake individual, a lower-level salaried person at VA who is in the correspondence office or wherever they may be, that receives the email or receives the letter. They enter it in, and they decide. Now, there are rules governing that, but they apply only to PII and PHI, and obviously they're not being followed. But there are no rules related to whistleblower cases. And so there's still nothing, there's no policy in place for them to follow if they wanted to protect whistleblowers.
Because that should exist outside of an accessible domain for obvious reasons.
Of course.
Now, another question I have is, I know in certain branches of law enforcement, if a law enforcement agency or person accesses information on a citizen, that citizen is notified that they have their information's been accessed by law enforcement. What you're saying is there's nothing in place in the VIEWS system that requires them to notify people when they're looking at their private information, and there's no way to track what individual is accessing that information.
Well, those are very good questions, and we've received conflicting answers. So in some respects, we're told that VA cannot track who downloaded a case or an attachment within a case on VIEWS. And yet we know instances where they have, in fact, identified who has gone in there. For example, Kristen's case specifically was downloaded by the time I had reached it 6 different times, meaning the correspondence she had with, I believe it was with the secretary, had been downloaded 6 times.
Wow.
For what reason?
Yeah.
For
Kristen's,
what reason?
Kristen's and tracking on Amazon.
Right, but after I left VA, by the way, my former boss was contacted by someone who was not necessarily part of this investigation, but I believe worked in in the chief of staff's office or related to that, and said, "Hey, why did Peter Rizzo access Kristen Rule's information?" So we know they can find it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that's, you know, that is a really simple thing to do. I mean, I work for a company that's got, I don't know, 4 or 5,000 employees, a lot of terminals, a lot of people have access to confidential company information. I mean, they can tell within seconds if somebody is into something they're not supposed to be into, and you're contacted. In this day and age, with the technology we have, I find it very difficult to believe that they can't figure out whose terminal, whose password, you know, what person accessed that information. I don't think they're coming clean on that.
Yeah.
The scary part is I know people, sometimes when you deal with the VA, you have to do your own little test so that you can figure out what's really going on. And I had some people search me to see if they really had an audit system in place, and those people have never been contacted for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I know there really isn't an audit system. I mean,
and they got your information, is that right?
Like, she had him do
Peter
it to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter was able to provide me all of my information. Now, I've known Peter for a while, but Peter certainly didn't know everything about me that he found in that computer.
Right.
And when we apply for jobs, they can search us, and if you search your name in there and it shows that you reported things to Congress 70-something times, I don't know if you're going to be a first choice.
Yeah. You probably dropped down in the ranks. We should move over to Ken Crandall, since that's kind of his – that was sort of his problem. Does that work? Do you guys have a better plan?
Well,
oh, definitely.
Okay.
Crandall left the agency. He thought he was in the clear.
Yeah. So let's pull Ken in here. So that it's kind of hard. You guys might have to eventually tell us who's speaking, but I figure if we kind of give people a little background, it might make sense. So Ken has a law degree from Temple University, worked at the VA for 3 years before illegally being fired twice after he whistleblew about mail shredding. You believe that? Mail shredding. Yeah, that should be something that someone cared about. Duplicate payments. Taxpayers might care about that. Nepotism. We should all care about that. And improper treatment of employees. He's a Navy veteran, and he plans to spend the rest of his life taking down the VA. No. fighting for the rights of whistleblowers. Sorry, Ken. I changed your bio. And we last spoke with him in 2015. And I do hope people that are interested in this topic will go back. If you click on the links that I've provided under Ken's bio, they have a picture of what his office looked like within, like, a very short period of time of being hired. It looked like a storage room at a shredding, he wasn't supposed to shred them, and he didn't. But, I mean, it looked like when you take your stuff to the shredder and they've got, like, just, like, piles of paper everywhere. And that was his office. And, like, here's your files, Ken. Like, go do your job. And he was brand new, and that's how he started. And it was a joyride from there. 3 years of fun, Ken. So they came after
right.
you when you tried to get a job outside the VA, correct?
Not a job, but I put in an application to be an incredible representative, and
for veteran claims, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So I could talk to VA decision review office, for example, as part of my job, but the chief counsel at the time in May of 2020 denied my application, and he was utilizing my actual emails that I now know were probably stored in this views program or somewhere. And now, remember, I've been gone from the VA since January of 2014.
being a Kroger representative is important for my job. For example, I can't be a team lead because I can't negotiate or talk to VA employees. So I've been handicapped financially because of this denial. And they were utilizing evidence that I didn't even know really existed somewhere.
So you get victimized while you're in there. Then you go back and you try to help veterans from outside the VA, and the stuff inside VA is still blowing back on you.
Right. So, I was working in a law firm, and now I'm part of a company, and we represent veterans on their appeals to the Board of Veterans Appeals, for example. But I can't talk to, I'm an advocate, but I cannot talk to VA employees as part of my job.
Well, that makes it a little difficult.
That's super helpful. Or not.
Right.
Because I guess I'm always kind of thinking, like, well, if I was just hearing this for the first time, like, what would I think? And I might be thinking, well, hey, just leave the VA. Like, it's not like you have to work there. You could go do something else. But it's pretty bad when the policies of the VA follow you out the door, and if you still want to help the zillions of veterans in our country who need veteran service representatives to help them with claims and cases and all these things. For heaven's sakes, you have a law degree. How helpful can you be, right? And they're still blackballing you basically through the secret system.
Still torment to me all these years later, right?
Yeah. Wow. How did you figure out that's probably how it was happening?
Kristen told me about this system, and then Senator Grassley was on the news about holding up a nominee, the number two spot. So I kind of put two and two together with Kristen's help. But I remember when I got the letter in May of 2020, and I didn't pursue an appeal because I thought that you can appeal to the merit system. I'm sorry, you can appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals. But I thought a judge wouldn't find on my side, so I never appealed, and I was also concerned about a couple of other things. But, it has held up my current career, most certainly.
I guess in most lines of work, if you have bad management or the company's crummy or they treat you poorly or whatever. I don't know. Most of us in our lifetimes have shaken the dust from our sandals, as they say, and walked on. Some of us more than once. But like I can say, even though I've done that a bunch of times, it didn't follow me around. It's like you guys have criminal records, and every time they search you, oh, you're the guy who did. That just
right. And this was the chief counsel at the time in 2020 who signed the letter. You would think that they would have some awareness. Now, wait a minute. Where am I getting this information from?
Yeah.
And is this real? How harmful is this going to be? But they really don't care. I mean, when I worked at the VA, the person and I filed complaints. Well, my evals at the end of last year were all exceptional, every single one of them. So I don't believe that I was a malcontent. I was just trying to do the right thing and report, millions and millions of dollars in duplicate payments, mail shred, and all these discovered to be true based on OIG investigations.
For example,
the mail shredding. Because of the mail shredding that we reported, now everything gets faxed. The mail doesn't go to the individual 56 regional offices. They get faxed to Janesville, Wisconsin. So that was one thing that we did so that stuff doesn't get shredded anymore. There were 96 boxes. I think Kristen told me recently was 96 boxes of mail that were waiting on the loading dock to go to shredding. And we reported it to the undersecretary at the time. She called Philadelphia, and that mail shredding stopped. But they also found another way to fix the problem, which was basically everything gets faxed to one fax number and gets into the veteran's file. So it's a much more effective system than it was before, when they would not look at the mail and just put it in boxes and then after a year send it to shredding.
Yeah, well, and anybody who has either applied for veterans benefits or knows somebody, there are very few people that have had zero contact with this, either personally or tangentially through family or friends. It's a pretty well-known thing that That system takes a long time. It's slow. It's cumbersome. It oftentimes you get denied because they didn't look at your information. There are a million reasons for that, and everybody wants it fixed. And I guess the most important part of this is folks like you are trying to fix it. And so when everyone says, why aren't they fixing it? It's like, well, this is why. This is like part of the problem. But we have to take a really fast break. We'll be right back with our four guests. And Bill had a burning question. He'll have to burn through the break.
All right.
You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
Bill's on strike.
Supersonic man out of you. Don't stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
Cause I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
now. Yes,
I'm
having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
I need a sign. Let me know you're here. Cause my TV set just keeps it all from being clear. I want a reason for the way things have to be. I need a hand to help build up some kind of hope inside of me. And I'm calling on angels. And I'm calling all you angels.
So, on the Angel Squad here, we have spoken with Kristen Rule. We spoke with Peter Rizzo. We have heard from Ken Crandall. And our fourth player is Ben Krause. It says Benjamin on here, but I think he goes by Ben. I don't know. I'm gonna roll the dice on that one. He's a prominent veterans rights attorney and journalist. And I just sent him a text that had the apostrophe missing out of wheel, but, you know, whatever. He's the founder of DisabledVeterans.org. Dedicated to training veterans and securing their benefits. He's an esteemed authority on military veteran policy. His contributions have been featured in prominent publications like Newsweek, Bloomberg TV, and he's provided testimony to Congress on veterans retraining issues. And that is a biggie. He's a proud disabled U.S. Air Force veteran. Thank you to all of you who served on our show today. Benjamin utilized the Chapter 31 Veterans Readiness and Employment Benefits to graduate magna cum laude from the University of Minnesota Law School. So I think three out of the four of you, I don't know about Peter, are all attorneys on here. Good for you. He now leads Krause Law, PLLC, a firm committed to staunchly representing veterans in diverse legal matters nationwide. And God knows there is a huge need for that. So I think it's Ben. Is it Ben? Or you go back, Benjamin?
Either way, hey, it's fine. You know,
oh,
as long
see.
As I get fed and whatnot, then we're good.
It's like, well, see, you know, when you're married to a William, call me Bill. Like, you know, you start getting kind of sensitive to that. Trying to be nice.
That's how you can tell if they know you or not.
Yeah. If they call and say William, I'm like, they don't know him. Your whole article and everything on here about all of this was really, really helpful. I do hope people go on and read that. It's detailing the issue of privacy rights and abuses by the VA. So there's no way we could possibly go through every facet. But if this is a topic that interests you, that is posted on there. And the article you wrote was fantastic. I was excited that you were going to be on today.
Thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, it's so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I think in part intentionally, or obfuscated at least, to where the public, and I was just going through some articles while we were talking here on my website from 2016. So this is like what we're seeing with views, and this scandal is really got its roots in what's called the T4NG contract. And so that was like an earth-shattering contract in 2016, and VA was going to get $20+ billion was going to go to these, you know, contractors, and they were going to fix the VA system. It was going to be great. You know, Booz Allen Hamilton was going to lead the way, and there were going to be other ones, and they were going to save the day. It was going to be a silver bullet. And so you fast forward now, within a couple years of that,
we realized immediately, not even a couple years, so by 2018, they were already jumping the shark within VA and not following Privacy Act laws, not following federal notice and comment laws, a variety of, you know, you name it, they violated it, it seems, within VA as far as notifying the public what these companies were doing with veteran data. And we're learning now that it at least appears that they didn't follow a lot of procedures, or at least if they did, they have magically round-filed the documents into some delete file, and so we don't necessarily have these. So we found out within VA's audit that we published that the agency, part of the reason they weren't able to determine, according to them, of course, if there was evidence of data breach is because they just stopped checking the logs, apparently, according to them. Or they just couldn't get in there for that because of some kind of update. They weren't real specific about what it is. But we're going to get to the bottom of that in a FOIA, or we're going to sue their pants off if they happen to not provide that information.
So did they
we're going to get to the bottom.
Did they get the money to do these improvements?
Oh, they not only got the money, we're going to give them another $60 billion.
Oh.
So this year, there's a new contract coming out, T4NG Part 2, because the first one wasn't quite good enough. So now we're going to give them another $60 billion to come right back in and update those same systems that were supposed to be done the right way the first time before. And I think what we kind of noticed is that a lot of these companies that were part of this contract got gobbled up. And so now, I haven't done the numbers yet, but it looks like a lot of the companies were purchased by Accenture, by Booz Allen Hamilton, by CACI, and a few others. And so, like Liberty Solutions, which was the veteran-owned business that owned the contract that's at the center of the View scandal, I believe got bought by, I think, Booz Allen Hamilton, that now owns them. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Booz Allen owns that company. And so we just saw, as we're kind of seeing this evolution, so now Booz Allen owns the contracts, apparently, for the Veteran Benefits Administration. Of course, we have the head of the Veteran Benefits Administration, Josh Jacobs, was pushed through for nomination and confirmation through cloture, and Senator Chuck Schumer was really pushing for him, got him in. Well, his background is at Booz Allen Hamilton before he was a contractor and consultant in different capacities. And now he runs VBA. Well, now we're seeing a bunch of scandals pop out. And so there's a question at the VA. Will VA, who's going to investigate those scandals? The
right.
VA?
Yeah.
Can't wait. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, yeah. They'll get
popcorn,
to the bottom of it.
You know, friends. Yeah, no problem. You know, yeah. No big deal.
We have a plan for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got the millions of dollars to
billions,
fix the system.
Billions with a B.
Yeah. Okay.
Billions with a B.
Billions and so these companies got that money and basically just didn't do anything.
Well, no, they did stuff. They made probably dashboards and databases and websites, and they did things.
Mm.
They just maybe didn't follow, like VA didn't ensure that the systems were, you know, maybe being created in a way that VA could understand. What we're learning is that a lot of the companies are, with a couple exceptions, of course, are, you know, like Salesforce is doing a bang-up job, you know, doing this and that, international company. But they're looking at the VA, and they're like, VA can't figure out how to use our software. Why are they still a client of ours, you
right.
know? And so Salesforce, if I were them, I'd be a little bit concerned. You know, it's going to get me pulled into a congressional hearing to try to explain why our Salesforce system is being misused by a bunch of these, you know, VA goofballs.
Right.
And Salesforce, like, why are they not maintaining the log files?
Yeah, and they're used by lots of big corporations. I mean, Salesforce is
right.
very, very popular with big corporations.
Oh, 100%. You know, and so at the end of the day, you know, VA tries to say that these systems as built lacked log files. Well, that may get some of these companies in trouble with the False Claims Act or something like that, if true, but odds are it's not true. And the stuff is probably there. VA is just trying to expedite the people that they want in position of authority
right.
for the next couple years through the election cycle, and they want to get them in to kind of finalize whatever, you know, shenanigans they have going on behind the VA Iron Curtain there.
Well, why would Salesforce build a program and not have log files? I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they have log files for everything else. I mean,
absolutely.
You do anything it's patently absurd.
Yeah.
So it leads me to believe only that the VA just kind of doesn't want people to know.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that, you know, the Senate's not going to call them out on it. And at the end of the day, that's what that is. They just don't think the Senate knows enough to figure that out.
That's always what they count on. If they wind it around and make it complicated enough and then make some excuses. See, there's always this, I guess the one thing we have to really point out, and that's why they keep getting money, because if you ever, the way Congress controls federal agencies is with budget. I mean, that's a really, really big tool. Anybody who's ever raised a stepkid knows how that works. Once you get to the point where you can control the money that comes in, if you have another parent out there who feeds money into the system, you just get your legs cut out from under you.
Yeah.
So here's Congress tries to do different things, but what happens if they talk about we're going to curtail something with VA, then all of a sudden all the veterans advocate groups go out, tell the public, Congress hates veterans, none of them serve, they're all monsters, you know, and then phones blow up and everybody goes, oh God, I guess I better give them the money. So they know that they have, I don't know, increases forever. I don't think they've ever taken a budget cut. How do you reel that in?
Well,
right?
Their classic answer is, well, you know, I don't have that information right now. I'll get back to you on that. And you know, they never do.
Have you watched a congressional hearing?
I have watched a few. Yeah.
Yeah. So you think, is there any end in sight for that? Just out of curiosity from what you see? Because I'm thinking no, but I don't want to be a hater.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, with inflation and everything, I suppose the next, you know, T4NG part 3 is going to be $100 billion, you know. So maybe if that's what, you know, one classifies as an end, it'll probably just be more, you know, money jammed down this. You know, because they got to appear that they're doing something, so we throw some dollar signs at it, some extra zeros. Oh, this is going to be really good. Oh, man. You know, at the end of the day, the problem is here. We have veteran data. We have whistleblower data.
Yeah.
It must be protected. Sensitive personal information must be properly protected. And we know that VA, for the longest time, has been classified as one of the most corrupt federal agencies in the federal government. So why on earth would we ever trust them to do their own audit like they did here? To, you know, protect whistleblower data. All that data should be pulled out of the VA. I have no idea why they have access to it. You know, given how corrupt the agency is, how much money has been shelled into that, they should definitely have a separate entity. And, you know, I normally would hope that the Office of Special Counsel would be able to do it, but it doesn't appear that they have the wherewithal either to chase VA around, because VA continues to thumb their nose at that agency as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have system records. We have all these other checks and balances that are supposed to be there for privacy protection, and the agency just doesn't do it. You know, case in point, Liberty had they put this in for the White House. It all started with the White House complaint hotline that President Trump put in back in 2017. Liberty IT had a pamphlet on their website. It's still there. And it says, system records notice is forthcoming. That was in 2018. VA didn't do anything until 2022 when they finally realized, oh, whoopsie-doo, we don't have all the right documents in place.
A little oversight.
That's illegal. That's against the law.
That's
a criminal offense if you're knowingly doing it, punishable with a fine and a misdemeanor at a minimum. And VA just, whatever.
And then even when they get caught, though, they get caught doing this stuff. I mean, they get caught busted on all sorts of stuff. And nothing, you know, nothing really ultimately happens to them.
They move people around. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You get transferred and get a bonus. We've got to take a quick break for news, and we'll be back with our four guests. We're talking about VA scandals and inside stuff. I think you'll like it. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Pay attention, you be worried too. You better pay attention, for this world you love so much might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so, cause it's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. It's a jungle.